2024 is gone. 6 months have literally passed in the garbage since you set your New Year's resolutions. Where did January you think that you'd be by now? And where are you now? Have you achieved anything? Have you stayed stagnant? Are you more in the middle? How can you reset, plan, and focus? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So welcome or welcome back to The Creation of Her. So we're going to reset, plan, align, and focus, as I just said in this episode today. But before, I want you to think or look back at your 2024 goals and just kind of evaluate where you are. But for me personally, I always write down my goals in a doc. So I went back to that doc after not looking for like a couple or a few months. And when I tell you, I had to delete half of the goals that I put on there because I put so many. And it just goes to show that sometimes we put so much on our plate and we give ourselves so many expectations and things to achieve, things to do, that we're just so overwhelmed that we just freeze. I don't know what it's called, but I call it overwhelm freeze. And it happens to me sometimes when I put too much on my to-do list or when I make too many goals for myself. So I went back and deleted all the things that were irrelevant, not realistic, or just unattainable. And I deleted the ones that I've already accomplished, which I rewarded myself for. But I recentered and I kept the ones that are actually attainable and that are quality. What are the goals that are actually going to change your life if you complete them? Which accomplishments or steps forward will actually give you more ease of life, more satisfaction, more confidence, more happiness? If you can set three really focused goals on the three areas of your life that you really want to improve, then you are much more likely to accomplish them and direct your focus to them. Giving out advice is a passion of mine, but I always want there to be an outcome. So we're gonna set three main goals together. Now we're gonna use three as a rule of thumb, but you can do one if it's a really big goal and you only have the bandwidth for one, or you can do five main goals if you think that's attainable for you. But three is just a rule of thumb for most people, and you can also have micro goals if you want. But anyways, let's look at the main areas of a life that we can improve upon. And I'm also gonna give you guys some inspiration if you're feeling stuck. Let's be real, most people have some certain body goal, and honestly, I don't think that it's superficial, or I just don't see it as a bad thing. And I think that there's a lot of sensitivity on the internet these days. But having beneficial goals for your body, if you're not currently in a healthy state or you have the potential to be healthier, is such a beautiful thing because it's something that we're actually mostly in control of, and it teaches us self-discipline, self-control, which can roll over to other areas of your life, and health is wealth at the end of the day. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to be looking down at my notes a lot. But as far as body goes, you can of course have a goal to eat healthier, whatever that looks like for you. I personally am a carnivore. I love it. I actually went into a whole podcast and different videos on YouTube about my carnivore lifestyle because it has changed the game for me. And another goal for you, which is touchy for me, is to reduce binge eating, which is something that I dealt with for the longest time, and I still have hiccups here and there. But two goals that I've reached that have really helped me cure my binge eating is, one, having more protein focused meals because you're more satiated, you're getting the nutrients that you need. And let me get it, I have this DBT, the solution for emotional eating. It's on Amazon. It's by Deborah L. Safer. And this is a workbook that explains everything that you're going through and how you can fix it. And it's super, super, super powerful. Anyways, I'm getting off track, but one of my goals is to drink a gallon of water a day, 2 liters of water a day. An easy way to do this is, like, if you have a bottle, you can just measure how many times you fill that up throughout the day. Exercise 3 to 4 times a week. Now, this video is also about how to glow up in the next 6 months before 2025 hits. So I just want to say that it should be a goal to exercise 4 to 5 times a week, in my opinion. The globe is what we're trying to achieve. So even if it's walking 20 minutes a day, it's just about creating the habit of showing up for yourself and showing up for your body. Even if you drank the night before and you're hungover, walking is just so healing. It's good for your body, it's good for your joints, it's good for your bones, it's good for your brain, it's good for everything. It puts years onto your life. Me personally, I supplement strength training with walking every single day. And there's no excuses around this because you're not Jeff Bezos. And the one thing that gets me like the most mad is when people say, I don't have the time. If you're gonna make an excuse, at least make it a logical one, because saying that you don't have enough time has no logic to it. You have the same 24 hours that everybody else has, that the president has, that Jeff Bezos has, that Oprah has, Mel Robbins, Kim Kardashian, Bill Gates. Let go of the mindset that you do not have enough time. You have the same 24 hours as everybody else on the earth. It's just about allocating your time and prioritizing every hour of your 24 hours. And a little hack, if you feel like you don't have enough time, just go on your phone and check your screen time and your settings. For a lot of you, that's where a lot of your lost time is going, and I know because I've been there. Moving on, 8 hours of sleep is another goal. Having your nails done every 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, or you can have a weight loss goal, whether that's a number or an inches goal. Like me personally, it's inches off my waist because I feel like that's a better measurement. Another area of your life could be mindset. So if you feel like you're very disorganized, it can be having a to-do list or a planner that you religiously use. I personally use Notion. There's so many templates on Notion, and I organize my entire life on there. It's extremely helpful. It can be to work on your confidence or self-esteem. So you can buy a course on this, you can pick up a book on this, or like, for example, there's platform called Mindvalley that has different courses. You can pick up affirmations. One of my favorite things to do is to say my favorite affirmations in my voice memos app, and I just listen to it every day. It just does something to the brain, and your affirmation starts to become reality after listening to them over and over and having that repetition. Another area is the brain or the mind. So this can be reading one book a month, no screen time for the first and last hour of the day. I'm actually gonna give later on some screen time rules that could help you out if this is something that you struggle with. Or one of mine is meditation for 10 to 15 minutes, 5 days of the week. Now for your soul, it can be to meet up with friends weekly, have a self-care day once a week, only buy wardrobe pieces that align with your higher self's style. One of my favorites is traveling every 2 months. If this is something you can do, you just haven't been executing it. And then we have education slash career or both. So this can look like 1 to 2 lessons of a foreign language weekly. Or the career one is kind of, I guess, more so up to you and what your career is. I mean, I don't know what it is. So this can look like an income goal. This can look like getting a promotion or getting a new job. Career goals and income goals are important, but I feel like that's something that you have to come up with because everybody's career is so different. So just to wrap it up, you can choose from areas such as self-love, health, living space, relationships, money, career, spirituality, recreation, etc. So we're gonna do this together. I'm gonna get my journal and write 3 main goals from 3 different areas of my life that I feel like would change my overall quality of life if I achieve them. If you're watching on YouTube, you're gonna watch me write this. And sometimes the best kinds of goals are the ones that are measurable. At least for me, I love numbers and I love seeing that I improved. And then what we're gonna do is we're gonna break each main goal into smaller micro goals. And another little trick that I love to use is with each micro goal that you achieve, you can attach a reward to it, and that's gonna look different for everybody. But some ideas for rewards that you can attach once you complete a goal is like getting a massage, getting your nails done, buying something that you want off of your wish list. Okay, let's get into it. So my first goal that I have improved upon since 2024 started, but I'm definitely not where I thought I would be, is my weight loss goal, or more importantly, just fat loss goal in general. So I stopped looking at weight because since I started the carnivore diet, you know, you gain muscle mass, your bones become denser. So weight is just not a good measure of my progress. I personally think it's mentally healthier to look at waist inches. This is just my personal opinion, but as women, our weight fluctuates so much, especially with our cycle. So I don't think it's the most accurate, you know, form of measurement. Anyways, number one is body and or health. And that will be getting my waist from 27 inches to 24 inches, which is what I used to be when I was at like my healthiest weight. I'm gonna split up 6 months that we have left of 2024 into 3 increments of 2 months. So since it's 3 inches I wanna lose, every 2 months would be 1 inch lost. And then under that, I'm gonna attach that to a reward. Honestly, everyone has a different reward. Some people will choose to have like a cheat meal or something after they achieve a certain weight loss goal. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just find it a bit counterintuitive, and I have a very large wish list and a lot of things that I want, but that I don't let myself buy all the time because I try to be as conscious as possible with my spending. So I feel like this is the best excuse to buy something. I remember one time my reward was like trying this new like fancy restaurant that I just normally wouldn't go to on a regular day or that I would save for an occasion. And achieving a goal is definitely an occasion. My next big goal is money, and I am gonna use fictional numbers here just for the case of privacy, but let's say that I want to raise my monthly income from 200K to 800K a month. So for the first 2 months, I'm gonna bump up my income to 400K a month, and then 600K a month, and then 800K a month. And again, every micro goal is attached to a reward. I think what I'm gonna do for the first two, I'll do smaller goals, and then for the last goal, which is 800K a month, I will buy a new phone or a laptop. I'm gonna think about it, but it's genuinely something that I need. I just can't justify it yet. Main goal number 3 is not money, but career, and that is to reach 100K on TikTok. So my TikTok grew a lot in a year, like 2 years ago, and I kind of took a very, very long break just because I was focused on other things, and I think that I wasn't doing really what I love, and now I am. And of course, you always have to be open to achieving more than you set your goal for, but for now, it's just 100K, so that would be 10K every 2 months because I just have a gap of 30K followers to reach 100K. And if there are some micro goals that you know you can add in, you think they'll be easy, you just need to realign and refocus, feel free to add those in. Like for me, that would be getting 8 hours of sleep, or prioritizing 8 hours of sleep every night, which is something I've already kind of gotten the hold of these past few weeks. I also have daily prayer and meditation, which again, I've already added in. It's just about keeping consistent. And another micro goal I have is reducing conventional dairy, so I just buy it less. Let's focus on execution, because changing your routine is inevitable if you want to reach your goals. Let's be real, something has to change, because what you're doing right now is not working, and you're not where you thought you'd be, or you're not where you want to be yet, because something you're doing right now is not working or is not inching you closer to your goals. And if everything stays the same, then everything stays the same. So every goal is attached to a habit or an action, right? What has to change for you to make room for these habit changes and for the goals to flood in? Do you need to habit stack? One of my goals that I did achieve in the first half of 2024 was reading more and always learning something every day. Another one of my goals I achieved is daily walking. So do you need to habit stack? For example, when I'm on the treadmill, I'm always learning. I'm either reading my book or I'm watching self-improvement videos. I'm watching the Financial Times on YouTube or something like that. Especially if you're a woman, psychologically, it's much easier for us to multitask, so use it to your advantage. Do you need to wake up an hour earlier to give you ample time to get that workout in or to meditate? Do you need to set time limits on your social media so you can have enough time to do whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's start a side hustle or hang out with your kids or whatever? Figure out what needs to change in your routine and change it to tomorrow, or else you will get nowhere, because everything will stay the same. I'm going to give you three systems or ideas that I have adopted that you can potentially choose to adopt as well if you think that they would be helpful for you. So the first one that I rave about all the time is the 888 method, and it's just a way to gain balance and organize your life. The 888 method is basically 8 hours of work, 8 hours of life, and 8 hours of sleep. This is such an easy mental model, and when I'm planning out my day on my Notion, I do it in 8 hour increments, and it helps me stay so focused, because specifically in the 8 hours that I work, some days I don't even work 8 hours, but to just give myself enough time, I do 2 hours of learning. And again, 1 hour of that learning is on the treadmill, so I'm knocking two birds out with one stone. But anyways, 2 hours of learning, 3 hours of daily tasks, like tasks that I do every day, like posting, and then 3 hours of my daily theme, because every day of the week I do like a different theme for my job. So Monday it could be planning content, Tuesday could be editing, Wednesday could be filming a podcast, and those increments can be split up throughout the day. Like I can do 2 hours of learning in the morning, and then in the afternoon I do like my daily tasks or whatever. But everything that's in between that, that I am awake, is life. Whether that's hanging out with my friends or trying a Pilates class or going for a walk. And then I always try my best to prioritize 8 hours of sleep, or sometimes more, because sleep is crucial if you want to change your body, if you want to lose fat, if you want to stay focused, if you want to be productive, if you want to have your cortisol levels low. Anyways, moving on, in 2024, something that is holding a lot of people back from achieving their goals is their so-called lack of time, but basically allocating all of your time to social media when you're not even making money from social media. So many people are spending like 7 or 8 hours on their phone, and they don't even make money on their phone. If you work on your phone and on your screen time, you see that the majority of that screen time is going towards whatever you're doing for work on your phone, then more power to you. But if you're just wasting your day away on your phone, on social media, or on games, when you're not even using your phone as a resource to gain financial abundance, I have to put you in check. So here are some phone rules that I adopted from another YouTuber. What's her name? Her name is Hannah Atkins, and she said, no phone before 9 a.m. and no phone before 9 p.m. And I guess you can also change this to like the time that you go to sleep. So basically it's like a 12-hour window that you can use your phone. Or if you wake up at 6 a.m., you can use your phone from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then absolutely no phone usage at the dining table or in bed. Another system you can adopt is a mini non-negotiable morning routine. I'm going to give you a sample one, but you can tweak this to center around your own goals. But something that I've discovered about my life, and I know some people can relate, is that sometimes long morning routines can be great, but they can also be unsustainable. We don't want to glow up to glow back down, so every goal that you're setting, every routine that you're inputting, should be something that's sustainable, that you can keep long term. Step one would be waking up 30 minutes before you need to get ready, get dressed, do your makeup, etc. And in those 30 minutes that you have for yourself, you're going to, one, make your bed. It's just an easy task to accomplish throughout the day. We've heard this like a million times. Just make your bed, it takes 2 seconds. You're gonna drink an entire bottle of water before anything else goes into your body. That bottle for you can look like an entire Stanley, or it can look like those like 16-ounce plastic bottles. You decide what feels good for you. And then you're going to write down or say out loud 5 things that you're grateful for. This is a habit that I've had for years, and naturally after doing it every single day, right when I wake up, I'm naturally just a grateful person, and I'm usually positive. Never ever undermine the power of gratitude. And then you're gonna have 15 minutes for yourself of absolute nothingness. So this can be like going outside or just drinking your coffee and not doing anything, not being on your phone. Maybe you feel like reading a book, and the purpose for this is that, one, it's good for our cortisol levels, two, it gives us a time just with ourselves. yourself and with life before a day gets started. And you can have some time to think with yourself, maybe meditate if you want, and just set your intention for the day and calm your nervous system before everything just gets started. Now, part of glowing up, especially if it's something you want to do in a short period of time, is to have identity shifts. For example, when I became carnivore, the day that I became carnivore, I started telling people, I am carnivore. And I started telling myself, I am carnivore. So some days when I was on my phone late at night and I was looking at all the crumble cookie reviews and how good the cookies looked, I had this thought and I was like, oh, what if I just order crumble cookies tomorrow? Or what if I just order crumble cookies right now? And I'm like, wait, I'm not gonna do that because I'm carnivore. Humans love labels, and sometimes our brain loves a box to put ourselves in. Instead of using the boxes in your brain to have a scarcity mindset or to create limiting beliefs, use them to your advantage. For example, some of mine is, I am carnivore, I am just the kind of person that works out every day, or I simply just get my stress release and my happiness from working out, so it's something that I love to do and I need to do. Because that brings me on to my next point, which is that your brain believes what you tell it. One of my favorite mental hacks that I've been using forever is to convince your brain of certain, like literally gaslight yourself. I would just catch myself and I'd be like, oh, I love my morning walks. My morning walks are amazing. Like, this feels so satisfying, whatever, whatever. And I can full-heartedly tell you now, I love my morning walks. I don't know if it's because I actually love them or if it's because I convinced myself that I love them, but I love them. Same thing when I was changing my mindset on dating. Every time that a guy was inconsistent, I would convince myself in that moment, like, ew, this is so unattractive. Like, this makes me not like the guy. Like, this is such an ick. And then when the guy would treat me right or like bring me flowers or do X for me, I'd be like, wow, this is so attractive. This is amazing. I deserve this. I'm open to receiving this. Just convince your brain of everything that you want it to believe. Most of the time, your brain doesn't know what's real or not. It just knows what you tell it and it believes what you tell it. Use your own psychology to your advantage. Also, another limiting belief that's spread around the internet a lot is that physical glow-ups are vain. Of course, I want my girls to glow up both physically and mentally, but you cannot have the mindset that physical glow-ups are vain. This is our body, this is our only vessel, and it's our duty to better it. Stop letting social media convince you that it's vain to want to better your body or to have your body look a certain way or to have less fat on your body. The body positivity movement has a purpose and is beautiful, but don't let social media convince you that it's okay to stay stagnant if you're not happy with the way that you're treating your body habits, or just the way that it looks in general. If, of course, it's something that you have the potential to better and improve upon. Just make sure that your goals are coming from a place of love for yourself and are actually attainable and sustainable. My last mindset tip is to think of things that are weighing you down. Make sure you're not setting goals that don't align with your higher self. For example, one of the goals that I got rid of was to come out with a UGC course by the end of the year. And although I saw my intention with that goal, something about it just did not align with me, and it's not something that I'm ready for yet, and the idea of it was just weighing me down. Once I got that goal out of my mind and I just put it to the side and forgot about it until maybe it comes up in the next year, I felt a huge relief and a huge weight off my shoulders. If you want to know if something is not meant for you, whether that's a goal or a thing that's already in your life, think about it. If you were to let it go, would you feel relieved? For example, when I get an opportunity for a partnership or a brand deal, but the brand or the just project itself doesn't align with me, and I turn down whatever amount of money, I feel a relief because it just didn't align. In my last relationship, I was so comfortable and I was so scared of being alone, so I stayed for longer than I should have. But once I let go of it, I felt so relieved because it just simply wasn't meant for me. That's a quick little hack so you can stay on your path and focus on the things that are meant for you and that will improve your life for the better. Pay attention to the relief that comes after letting go of something, because all of your goals should come from a place of love and not fear, and they should feel good in your body. That's all the wisdom and knowledge that I have for you guys today. If you want a part 2, let me know. Follow, like, subscribe, do whatever you gotta do, and make sure to share this podcast or video with somebody that you think might benefit from it.